Last week, Pastor Mael and I, we were not here with you. We were on vacation. We were in a beautiful city called Leavenworth, Washington. Has anybody been to Leavenworth, Washington? Okay. It's amazing. You should go there. Not on a Sunday, of course, but you should go because we want you here. But we had a great time. And one of the things that we were celebrating, the reason we went there, my mother-in-law just retired. And so there was a party. We were celebrating her. And one of the things they did with us is they took all of the family to something called it was an alpine coaster, like a roller coaster, but it's a little different. I've never actually seen one like this before, and I have a picture of it for you. And it's different in that, well, similar roller coaster, you go up a really tall mountain, you're up on the side of a mountain, but you're in a single car by yourself. You can have somebody else sit with you if they're smaller. So I rode with Tate one time. And here's what makes it unique and different. You control your speed. So you get to push down the lever and you can go as fast as your heart desires. And then you get to pull it back and stop. So it takes you, it's cool. You go all the way up to the top and you get up there and then you start going down. And some people go really, really fast, but go really slow. Now, on the way down, they have these little markers that say 80 feet all the way down. And here's why. You are not allowed to be within 80 feet of the person in front of you. And so you're supposed to be stopping the whole way down. Well, I'll just be honest with you. I held it down as fast as I could the whole way down. I was screaming. If I had hair, it would have been blowing in the wind. It was awesome. I had a great time. So I get to the bottom and I see Mael and I see her sister Maddie and everybody. And I you know how you sometimes bring energy and you're excited and not everybody's feeling the same way you are. So I get down. I'm like, hey, wasn't that amazing? And I look at Mael, Pastor Mael, and I go, you ready to go again? And she goes, nope, not doing it again. I'm like, what? And I looked at my sister Maddie, and she goes, same here, I'm done. And I'm like, what? This was the best experience. Why aren't you going? And Pastor Mael said, well, I don't trust the person behind me. I'm afraid they're going to come up and hit me. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then Maddie, she said, well, when we were in line, I happened to see one of the mechanics put on the car on the track as they were doing some work on it. And did you know that that car is held by just one cable and a little hook? And she said, I'm done. And when they said that, I realized if you don't trust, you're not going to ride. And the truth is, all of us have various degrees of trust issues, don't we? Trust is a big deal. This afternoon, when you go to lunch, maybe you're going to go out to a nice restaurant, you're going to get a burger, and if you're going to eat that burger, you're trusting that that food is going to be good and it's not going to hurt your stomach. Just the other day, I went to Jamba Juice, and the lady that was ringing up my food, she kept pushing the buttons, and she kept pushing the cash register, and by the end of it, I'm thinking, how much is this smoothie going to cost? And you know what she asked me? She said, do you want a receipt, sir? And I said, you know what? I want a receipt. How much are you charging me for this? Could you imagine if you get on an airplane today, and the two pilots in the cockpit are about 8 years old? Are you going to trust that they're going to get you where you need to go? Of course not. Someone said, yeah, right. Okay, we always have a little joke in the house, but when you get on the plane, we all know that trust matters. I love the way that Dr. Henry Cloud puts it. He says that trust is the fuel for all of life. Trust is the fuel for all of life. And I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about your story. And every person has a varying degree of trust. And one of the problems that you and I face is that oftentimes because people have broken our trust, we're not sure if we can trust God. I'm going to say that again. Because you've had your trust broken, you wonder, can I trust God? Pastor Mael just did an amazing job talking about offering and trusting God with your tithes. Every week is a test. Do I trust God that if I give 10% and then I give above, that I still have enough, and that the Bible says that he will bless me beyond I can even imagine right there? Do I trust that Jehovah Jireh is my provider? And as I'm saying that, I can tell by some of the look on your faces, you're like, I think I trust God, but do my actions really line up with that? And what we're going to look at in Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, you know what he tells us? He says that your freedom, the ability to be free indeed, is dependent upon your ability to trust the promises of God. The big idea is this: freedom is found in trusting God's promises. And I want to ask you a question. Where is your trust meter when it comes to God? And maybe you're here like me, you've had lots of reasons for why you would struggle to trust. Maybe it's with people breaking your heart. Maybe you've had a relationship that it started out so well, and then you got one of those Dear John letters. We all get these moments in our lives where we have to trust. We have to step out in faith. And God often will ask you to do things by faith. And so today I want to encourage you that if you want freedom in your life, if you want to be free indeed, that in order to do that, you must trust God. And here's the cool thing. When you trust God, you'll find out he's someone that always keeps his promises. He's the one that always fulfills it, and he will be with you every step of the way. And so today, if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to open them. And in case you don't have one, they'll come up on the screen. We're going to read out of Galatians chapter 3, verse 15. And we're going to jump in, and it says this. Now, just so you know, be ready. I'm going to read a large portion of scripture, so I hope you're ready for this. Say, I'm ready.
Ready.
I'm ready. Dear brothers and sisters, here's an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or amend an irrevocable agreement, so it is in this case. God gave the promises to Abraham and his child. What did he give to Abraham and his children? Promises. Say promises.
Promises.
And notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children as if it meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child. And that, of course, means Christ. This is what I am trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham, so an agreement with Abraham, the promise, could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God would be breaking his promise. For if the inheritance could be received by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise. But God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. Why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. God gave his law through the angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Now, a mediator is helpful if more than one party must reach an agreement. But God, who is one, did not use a mediator when he gave his promise to Abraham. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we could be made right with God by obeying it. But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by what?
Believing.
I'm going to have you finish that sentence. We're going to say believing in Jesus Christ. One, two, three. Believing in Jesus Christ. Verse 23, before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. Aren't you thankful that we no longer need the law? but we have grace through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this is the last verse, and I'm getting really excited. I'm getting ready to preach on this. This is where the preaching comes. This is the fire. I love this. These next couple verses. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. And all you have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ Jesus, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Come on, somebody. Isn't that a good word? Some of you might be asking me, Pastor Nate, that's a lot of scripture. Absolutely. We're going to read God's word. Can I get an amen in the house? Of course we read God's word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when I read this passage, something should come alive in us, but oftentimes the reason we don't get excited is because we don't always understand what is it that Paul's really unpacking for us, okay? So I want to talk about the first thing you must understand to get this passage is, what is the promise? Because you don't get really excited about a promise unless you know what that promise was. Like, if I promised my boys that after church today, I promise that we're going to get on a plane and go to Disneyland, they're going to be pretty excited. Yeah. Maybe not. I don't know. They lost me. I already lost them after that one. If I told you that you're coming with me, how would you feel about that? All right, there we go. You guys are all coming with us. All right? Wouldn't we get excited about it? You see, I think a lot of Christians don't get excited about God's word, don't get excited about coming to church, don't get excited about following God, because they don't understand the promise God has made for them. So I want to help you understand what the promise was. So in the Bible, all the way back in Genesis, there was this man named Abraham. And now we may have, if you've grown up in church, there was this song called Father Abraham. I'm not going to ask you to sing it. But it kind of goes, Father Abraham. Just kidding, won't do it. Father Abraham. Now, why is he called Father Abraham? And here's what most people miss. They think Abraham was a righteous or good man, and he was doing well, and that God saw his good deeds and made him the father. No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that Abraham was a nomad. He was just living his life. And God showed up by his grace and said, out of you, I will make a nation that will, I will bless you. And I want to read to you the promise. Here it is, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. He says this. He says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. And I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and in him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What did he just say? He said, first of all, this is kind of hard to imagine. Imagine listening to God. He shows up and he says, I want you to go. Well, where are we going? I'm not telling you. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave everybody with you. But I'm leaving you with a promise. And here's the promise, that if you obey me, if you follow me, you will experience a blessing that you cannot contain. And not only that, even if people come against you, you will still be blessed. And it doesn't just stay with you. It goes from your kids and your children all the way down from generation to generation to generation. That's why Paul says that the law given to Moses 430 years later does not cancel the promise to Abraham. And here's what's so cool. If you're in Christ, that promise of inheritance belongs to you. So that should change the way that you view your money. That should change the way that you view your relationships. And I want to encourage you this. It should change the way that you watch television. It should change the way that you watch your social media feeds. It should change the way that you interact with people. Because if you've already been blessed, even when the enemy comes against you, you have a promise from God that he will protect you. That he's got your back. And so a lot of Christians, you can get hurt or offended or upset, but for some reason we think we have to be the ones to get mad and get upset and fight back. But God says, don't repay evil for evil. He says, love your enemy, do good to those who hurt you. Why? Because I've got your back. And watch what ends up happening. To Abraham, he trusts God. He obeys God in the face of everything. He walks out in Hebrews 11:8 says this, it was by faith Abraham obeyed the call to go to a place that he was to receive as inheritance, not even knowing where he was going. The big idea, freedom is found in trusting God's promise. Abraham didn't even know where he was going. I want you to imagine with me, we get in the car right now. And I say, hey, Pastor Mael, you're driving. She's like, all right, we're going to drive. And then she says, where are we going? And I say, west. Well, first she's going to be like, where's west? I'm going to be like, I don't know. Let me get my phone. I'm not sure where west is, but we're going west. And she'd be like, well, don't you have a destination? I can't tell you that. You know what's going to happen? Give me the destination. Anybody else with me on this? We've been married 16 and a half years, and you know what she still wants to know, just like I still want to know? Where are we going? So we drive out of the parking lot, and all I'm going to say is, turn left, just like the GPS, turn right. Go a mile and a half, turn left. And do you know the longer that this little play goes on, the more struggle it's going to be for her to keep trusting me? Every single turn, Abraham, when he's following God, you know what he's having to do? God, I don't know where you're taking me, but I'm going. God, I have no idea how this is going to work out. He didn't say, I want you to save up a couple million bucks and then just start traveling. What did he say? Leave it all. Leave your family. Leave it. Take what you have and go. Don't worry, I'm going to bless you. And you know that God has a habit of doing that to people? Think about what he did to the disciples when Jesus walked on the earth. What did he say? Leave your nets, leave your boats, come and follow me. Could you just imagine Peter, James, and John looking at him and saying, hey, what are we going to do? I don't know, but he's walking away. Somebody better follow him. You see, if we're going to trust God, we have to recognize that it's not good enough to say, yeah, I believe God. You see, Abraham did something different. He didn't just say he believed God. He took a step of faith. So the question I want you to wrestle with this morning, and I'm going to wrestle with as well, is how do we know if we are trusting God's promises like Abraham did? How do we know? The first point I want you to take note of is this, is that we obey in faith. We obey in faith. It would be one thing if just like you and I are talking, I told Pastor Mael, hey, get in the car, we're going to drive, turn left, turn right, where are we going? I can't tell you yet, but we're just going to go. And she was like, okay, I trust you. I'm like, well, we get in the car? No, but I trust you. Well, are we going to drive? No, but don't worry. Don't worry. I trust you. Would you say that she trusts me? Of course not. Why? Because there's a huge difference between mentally saying, I trust you, and getting in the car. There's a huge difference in saying, yes, God is Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. But then I look at my bank account and I think, ooh, I spent too much money on my car. Ooh, I don't have enough for you, God. There's a huge difference when I go to the doctor and I get a diagnosis that's bad and I look at my health and all of a sudden fear and anxiety and doubt and I wonder if I'm gonna make it. Come on, somebody. And then I think, I trust God, but then I spend all my time in fear and doubt and worry. Not that we don't have fear, not that we don't have doubt, not that we don't have anxiety, but we serve a God who says that even in death, we've already won. Amen. The victory is already found in Jesus Christ. Therefore, you and I have a different level of hope. It doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge sadness. It doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge disappointment. But what it means is I've gotten in the car with Jesus. I don't know if I'm going left or I'm going right, but as long as I'm next to Jesus, I'm going to be okay. And we have a lot of Christians who give lip service but won't follow what he wants you to do. James 2:20 says something pretty powerful. He says, how foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Too many people say, oh, I trust God. But they're not willing to get in the car without knowing where they're going to go. You see, God may be asking you to take a risk this morning, and you know what risk is actually code for? Faith. Maybe the most risky thing you could do is say, God, what do you want me to do? And you know what he's just simply saying? Trust. Just trust me. But God, I don't know the answers. Trust me. But God, I can't see how this is going to work out. Trust. Why? Because your freedom depends on it. You will be bound by fear. You'll be bound by anxiety. You'll be bound by worry. And what we know, and you know this to be true, is that more and more people are sick and unhealthy because of what they fear that may never not even happen. So what are we supposed to do? Trust. That's pretty hard to do. I have an example I want to tell us. Will you throw me the ball, please? I have a little beach ball for you. There was a, ooh, nice throw. There was a dad. Oh, next service, buddy. That's why we have two. So there was a father who was getting on a plane and he had a little girl. She's about 5 or 6 years old. I heard this story the other day. And as they were getting ready to get on the plane, her dad had given her a beach ball just like this, and it was filled with air, and she was so excited. She was playing with it, and as they're getting ready to check their bags in, the attendant said, I'm sorry, but you cannot take that ball with you. And the little girl looked at her dad and looked at her and said, well, why not? I'm sorry, but those are not allowed. They have to go in the luggage. And the little girl just starts crying, but this is my beach ball. She starts crying, and the dad says, don't worry. If we take the air out of it, we can put it in the suitcase. Take the air out! And she just has a full-on meltdown, and he grabs her by the face, and he says, sweetie, listen, you can trust me that when we land again on the other side, this ball will be waiting for you. And she looked at him, she goes, and he says, do you trust me? And you know what she said? No, no. So the plane's getting ready to go. So he begins to take the ball and deflate it. And he said, as every little inch of air came out, the girl's tears felt like it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And so the ball finally got to the point where it was flat enough where it could go in the luggage. And as they put it in, he held his little girl and took her to the airplane sobbing, Dad, you killed my ball. My ball is dead. But they got to they landed, they raced over, and sure enough, the beach ball was waiting for her. And when they got there, the dad said, sweetie, let me show you something. I'm not going to pass out, I promise. And I did that for a reason. He gave the ball back to her and said, you can trust me. You can trust me. Some of you here, God is doing things in your life. Listen, and it feels like you're losing. It feels like you're deflating. It feels like, and it looks like things like finances are less than they've ever been. Your relationship is not as full as you want it to be. Your health is not the picture. It was supposed to be like this, but God has taken you through a season, and it looks like it's less and less and less. And what he's saying, will you still obey me in faith, even if your life right now in this moment does not look the way you want it to look? Will you trust him? Because if you trust him, the beautiful thing about that story is that it wasn't just that she got the ball. It was that, number two, she became united with her dad. You become united with Christ if you stay close to him. When you go through a journey and it looks like you've lost a lot, and I, in this room, I know there are people here that you've lost some things. If you were honest, this beach ball, you would probably say, my life, if you know what's really going on behind the scenes, it's more than deflated. It feels like it's got holes in it. I want you to know that you serve a God that made a promise about you. That's right. And you can trust that promise. That's right. But Pastor Nate, I don't know how we're going to make it. Trust the promises of God. Trust that he's with you. And I'm saying this as a pastor who's lived out some of these things, just like you have. When Mael and I were going over this message, she brought up a point that was really hard for us to go through. A few years ago, one of our spiritual moms, someone that Mael was super close with, she went through 4 rounds of cancer. 4 rounds. And the fourth one, I'll never forget going to her house with Mael and the family. And we're laying hands on her, and she is quoting scripture. She's declaring the goodness of God. This woman knew the Lord. She had done ministry all over the world. She had 4 kids, all 19 and under. Amazing family, amazing women of God. And we declared the goodness of God that she was going to live. And I'll never forget, she's saying, don't stop believing. God's going to heal me. I'm going to see the goodness of God. Today she's in heaven. And you know, the hardest thing is when you don't get what you want, do you still trust that God is good? Right. Yeah. Do you still trust that he is taking you the way that he wants you to go? As painful it is, because here's the thing, the most broken part that I've seen a lot of people live their Christianity in is that they think just because you're a Christian, you're not gonna go through hard times. Do you know that Jesus never promised that? He said, in this life, you will have difficult seasons, you will have trials, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Right. You have to hold on to the promises of God. You get closer, you get united with him. Galatians 3, 26, 27, we just read it. I want you to read this, and if you need to grab your phone, take a picture of this. I need you to hear this. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. I brought my little jacket up here. I wanted you to see something. This last Christmas, my wife bought me this jacket. And I love this jacket. Thank you, my wife. And my beautiful wife, I put this on. And I really like it. It's warm. And you know what these new jackets have? They have the ability to be stretchy. Anybody else like stretchy jackets? I don't know why, but it's like I can move. There's just something about a stretchy jacket. It's just, I don't know, it just feels really nice. What I want you to see, when you become united with Christ, you are clothed with him. You are not just Nate, Peter, or Sharon, or Ron, or Meredith. You are a son, a daughter of the King. Amen. You are clothed with righteousness. And I want you to hear this. You are also clothed with a promise that God will get you where you're supposed to go. His ways are higher than my ways. And what is our posture? And this is what I want you to hear. Get closer to Jesus. If you're not sure, maybe some of you here, and I'm looking at this at the room, and I know some of your stories, you're going through things. Some of you here are battling with your health right now, and I want you to know, don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Don't stop calling on God. Get closer to him, because freedom is found in trusting God's promises. Freedom is found in trusting God's promises. The last thing that you should do is run away from God. We should always run to Jesus. None of us are exempt from difficult times, but all of us have an opportunity to get closer to Jesus. When Pastor Mael and I, we were just talking about this yesterday, we were praying, can't believe it's been 2.5 years, we were praying, Lord, open the door for us. We really feel like we're supposed to be lead pastors. And Greg Inman called us in December, and next thing you know, 6 months later, we stand up here, and we're like, oh, the Lord answered our prayers. Portland Christian Center, we found you. You found us. We're so excited. It's going to be smooth, easy. The church, there's no problems. Everything is going to be fire. Hallelujah. And then a pipe burst. And here we are in a gym looking at each other and say, Pastor Nate, when are we going to get back? And I'm going to tell you, we're just taking one step at a time. Come on, somebody. We're going to trust Jesus. We're going to take one step at a time. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I have a faithful God that I trust. I've got my Holy Spirit jacket on that stretches. And there's greater of he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I am going to have the freedom that comes in Christ because I trust his promises. He's with me. He's for me. So who can be against me? And I want to remind you with this jacket on, I want you to look at yourself, maybe look at your threads. You got some nice threads on. You are true children of God with an inheritance. Did you hear that? You are true children of God with an inheritance. And I want you to know this. If you are a true child of God, that means your behavior looks more like Jesus Christ. Why do I know that? Because he's the Son of God. So we have to start looking at it. If I'm going to wear what Jesus wears, because he's with me, he's in me, he's for me, I'm going to start acting like it. And I love this. The first thing that Jesus did, the kenosis passage, if you want to read this in Ephesians, it says that Christ emptied himself out. He humbled himself. Look what Galatians 3:28, 29 says, there is no longer Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham, say, belongs to me. Oh man, some of you don't believe that. Okay, let's try that again. Belongs to me. Do you believe that? Are you sure? It's okay to talk. It's the first service. We can talk back to each other. Do you believe that? Absolutely. It's so important that you believe that, because if you don't believe that God wants to bless you and that he has promises for you, you will not live like it. You will still act like an orphan even though you're a son or a daughter. Slave or free, son of God. Jew or Greek, son of God. Male or female, son or daughter of God. It's all taken care of. You don't have to fight any more battles because Jesus is fighting for you. You've already won the victory. And he has an inheritance for you. When we were living in the Tri-Cities, there was a man who came into my dad's office, and for some reason, I don't know why, my dad felt like he needed backup, so he put me in there as well with him. And my dad's like 3 inches taller than me, outweighs like 60 pounds, but for some reason he wanted backup that day. So I'm in there with, you know, being the backup. And this guy starts talking. At first he's kind of like gruff and angry, and all of a sudden this guy just starts weeping. And he starts talking about his story and his parents just passed away and how he's so upset that he doesn't have his parents anymore. All he has left is his brother and his sister and how hard it's going to be without them. And as he's talking, I'm like, dude, your parents were like in their 70s and 80s. Like, you know, it's okay. You can kind of let go, you know, like they know Jesus. Like, I'm kind of thinking, what are we holding on to? And then something hit that he said, and here's why I'm so upset. My brother is the executor of the estate and he is cutting me out of my parents' will. I am not getting a dime. And then he just broke down and started sobbing right there, this man. And I remember looking at him like, oh my gosh, like this dude, this money wasn't his from the beginning. If he had no idea there was money, his day wouldn't have been any different. But I realized he was more invested and trusting a promise of money from somebody else than he was in the one true God. His entire life was completely a wreck. So we started talking to him And he starts pouring out his story. And he said something that was so interesting. He said this, don't we all lie like this sometimes? He goes, it's not even the money. It's the fact that my brother would cut me out. And I'll never forget, my dad looked at him and goes, come on, man. It's about the money. Let's be real. Let's be real here for a second. And he goes, you're right. It's about the money. And so we prayed with him. And here's why I'm telling you that. Many of you can relate to having your trust broken by somebody else. Maybe you can relate to having your trust broken by a family member, by a spouse who's no longer with you, by kids who you raised to follow God and now they don't follow God anymore. And what can happen is when you don't trust God to fight for you, you lose your joy. You lose your freedom. You lose your hope. And you walk around, you're supposed to be clothed with power and joy in the Holy Spirit, but you walk around disappointed and broken. And what God is saying, will you trust me? Learn from Abraham, get in the car. We're going left, and you'll be like, I don't want to go left. My ways are higher than your ways. My strength is made perfect, not in your strength, in your weakness, the Bible says. It's in my weakness that his strength is made perfect. Why? Because I'm depending on him for my directions, not my own. And today I'm giving you a message that's not going to be a Pollyanna, just everything is rosy and oh, it's all perfect, it's all perfect. What I want you to hear from me is this. You may be in a season of your life where you're going a direction. You don't see where God is. You don't see how it's going to work out. But my message to you is so simple, but so powerful, is that you are clothed with Jesus Christ. You are a son and daughter of God. You are a child of the promise. Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. You will be victorious. You will make it. You will be more than a conqueror. Why? Because he's with you and you're with him. You're united with Christ. You've already won. You've already won. The victory has been yours and it's done. So you should walk a little different. And I want to tell you this, that walk is not easy. Some of you walk with a limp. Some of us aren't sure how we're going to walk today or tomorrow, but we know God's with you. And when you're a child of God and you have that perspective, you see people different, don't you? This past Friday, Mael and I and the boys decided to go swimming down at Oaks Park. Never been there before by the park area. Hey, there we go. Must be like that. But there's like a water area. Have you guys ever seen that? Some of you have seen that. Some of you haven't. Anyways, beautiful area. We're swimming, having a good time. And people start showing up. And I'm thinking, this is my private beach. I don't want anybody here. Then they bring their dogs. And they get in my way. And then I start noticing they don't speak life. They don't dress like me. And then I start watching behaviors. They do not have the same values that I have. Some of them should be putting on clothes, if you know what I'm saying. Titus and I have to keep our eyes down looking at the sand. And what was crazy was I'm clothed with Christ, but I had this tension in my spirit. I did, and I'll be completely honest with you, I was not feeling comfortable. I just honestly wasn't. And I remember we got in the car and we started going, I started just kind of internally asking, Lord, what is going on? Why am I feeling this way? And I remember him saying, you asked me to send you to a church. You asked me to send you to change the state of, to change something, to be a light to the lost. So I figured you're going to Portland and we're going to reach the people that are furthest from God. So I began to ask the Lord, what am I supposed to do with that? And he said, you need to pray. And not only do you need to pray, but you need to pray with your family. So you can ask them. We all were in our bed, all four of us were there. And our prayer life is sometimes a little comical because we have children and we pray different things all over. But we began to pray for Portland, didn't we? We began to pray for people. We began to ask God. And here's what we said, Lord, help us to be the light to them. And my prayer for you this morning is this, that you would begin to see who you are in Christ. Yeah. And that instead of cursing the darkness, that you would pray for the lost. That you'd begin to love people. And here's what I would say. If you can't think of anything good to say, don't say it. Go back to your prayer closet and say, God, change me. I'm serious. God, help me to love them. Help me to be a light to them. Help me to see them. Because here's the thing. If I'm a children of the promise, that means I don't have anything to be afraid of. If God's got me, I don't have to be afraid of them. But what it does mean is I can love them. I could pray for them. So my question for you is just really simple. Are you trusting the promises of God? Are you trusting the promises of God? If I could have you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment after the worship team come up. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit just for a moment, where's my trust level? God, you've asked me to get in the car with you. You've asked me to follow you. You've asked me to do all these things. But my trust level, man, I'm just not sure. And maybe I want to turn this a little more pointed, and that's this. If you're here and you're like, man, I need to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to make him my Savior. If you're here today and you want to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to ask that you slip up your hand right where you are. I want to pray for you right where you are. If there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me and make me new. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me? As we get ready to worship Jesus, we always have a couple questions that we want you to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you through. But before we do that, I really wasn't kidding when I said that when we were at this park, there was this uncomfortable feeling in my life. Have anybody ever experienced that? Am I the only one? They're just like, man, I don't know. I just want to invite you, one of the best responses that we can have is to pray and worship God. This Wednesday, we are having a special prayer and worship night led by Pastor Mael and the team, and she has strategically got some prayer things lined up, and we're going to call on God for Portland. Yes. We're going to call on God that he's going to transform our city. Anybody else believe that that needs to happen? Yes. And I just want to ask every one of you, maybe look at your schedule, maybe change some things, maybe you had some things planned. We need you to pray with us, because the more that we have together calling on God, I just believe he honors that. He honors that and he answers prayers. And I want to see Portland changed. I want to see all those people that we saw at the Oaks Park right here at PCC transform, loving God, worshiping God, out of their broken lifestyle, out of their bondage, out of their addictions, and following Jesus. But it's not going to happen if we don't start calling on God. So would you commit to doing that with us? Amen. We're calling on God. As we sing this next song, I want you to ask the Lord two questions. Number one, what are you asking me to leave behind? Abraham had to leave something behind to follow Jesus. Maybe you have something that you need to be left behind, that you need to leave behind. Maybe for you, it's control. God, I've got to know where everything's going to go. I've got to have the budget. I got to have all these things figured out. And God's saying, let go of control. Maybe for you, it's security. Maybe it's knowing the next step. Whatever it is, maybe you gotta let some things go. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what do you gotta let go? And the second question is this. What needs to be passed down? In other words, you and I are always passing something down. Are you passing down faith? Are you passing down fear? And here's the warning in Judges 2:10, this is after Joshua, his reign. He says this, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. Will you pass down trust to the next generation? Will you pass down trust to the people in this congregation? So the Holy Spirit, I want you to lift your hands. He's going to lead you this morning. Freedom is found in trusting in the promises of God. Lift your hands with me and just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to let go of? And what do you want me to pass down? Holy Spirit, what do you want me to let go of? And what do you want me to pass down?
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message, and our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more of who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ. So if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes, and we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. So whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.